This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Now back to Willard and Dukes. Take it away, Mark.
All right, Steph. No Mark Willard today. It's Dan Dibley, Mark Grandy with you here on Willard and Dibs. Willard's off celebrating his daughter's Sweet 16.
Yeah.
They'll be back on Monday. They're turning it into like a weekend-long affair, right?
Yes, and he is doing a lot of cooking today.
Okay.
So it's a home game, apparently, and his daughter, Ella. Shout out, Ella. I'm sure she's listening here on her 16th birthday.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know?
She normally listens, yeah, so yeah, of course.
We're big in the teenage girl demographic, apparently. But, yeah, it's going to be a home game. He's making dinner and going to have a great old time. And it's one of those weird ones, though, because these are the shows that make this job not only easier than it already is, but so much fun and so memorable. I could sit here with you all day and talk about how great Steph is, how fun that was, how special this is starting to become. These are the shows where when you're off and you have a prescribed off day, you're like, man, I wish I was in there. Wish I was working today.
Yeah, wish my daughter's Sweet 16 didn't fall the day, or I guess her birthday was actually yesterday, right?
I think so, yeah.
But what the birthday weekend didn't fall the day after Steph scores 56 points in a road win, one of the wins of the year for the Warriors. But it is what it is. We're going to go back out to the phone lines in a sec. Charles and David, stay there. I did want to get out a couple of pieces of news. This comes courtesy of Anthony Slater. You hear him all the time here on 95.7 The Game, our Warriors insider. First of all, Jimmy Butler is questionable for the Warriors tomorrow night in Philadelphia with a mid-back spasm. Mm. And Jonathan Kuminga remains out. Slater adds on Kuminga, they're waiting for final clearance, but his return could be as early as Charlotte on Monday. So no Kuminga tomorrow. The Warriors are in Philadelphia now. The other news out of the NBA, by the way, Dibs, is that Joel Embiid is officially out for the season.
I saw that, yeah.
We knew he wasn't going to play tomorrow anyway, but he's officially out for the year. That's the latest for the 76ers, who are probably going to be entering full-on tank mode, or at least not trying to win anymore. But Kuminga out tomorrow. He could return on Monday. Jimmy Butler questionable for the Warriors tomorrow night in Philly. We'll have to wait until Steve Kerr talks pregame tomorrow, Dibs, to get an update from Steve Kerr. But I would imagine this isn't something serious, and it might just be the Warriors potentially identifying a day where maybe they don't need to play Jimmy, although that might be, honestly, Monday in Charlotte, where you might be able to get a win over that team without Jimmy Butler. But I wouldn't read too much into that. The other piece of news from Anthony Slater is that the Warriors will sign Kevin Knox to a second 10-day contract. Knox has been with the organization back to the summer and impressed the main team the last 10 days. He did play some first half minutes last night in Orlando, the first time we saw him getting some regular run for the Warriors. But Kevin Knox, a second 10-day contract. Jimmy Butler questionable tomorrow. Jonathan Kuminga out tomorrow. There's the news.
Yeah, Jonathan Kuminga, good news, though, that maybe Monday is a day, and if it's not Monday and then the game after that, I think it's
Tuesday. Yeah, they're in New York against
the Knicks. Yeah, so he wouldn't play in both of those games, I don't think.
Probably not.
Anyway, and
Monday feels like a soft landing spot for him against Charlotte.
That's a great call, and if he's ready to go, then you can probably play him 16 to 20 minutes and let him get his wind back. And even if he's out of shape and out of sorts a little bit, you probably can withstand that, sustain it, and still go out and get the W.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. 888-957-9570. Where has Jimmy Butler's impact been felt the most? The Warriors are 7-1 in his 8 games as a Warrior. They could pretty darn easily be 8-0, although I guess a couple of these wins could have gone the other way as well. 7-1 is probably pretty darn fair. And they have completely turned their fortunes around. And for you, Dibs, for me, Dibs, it feels like they're building something special. But where has Jimmy Butler's impact been felt the most? 888-957-9570. Let's go to Charles as promised. Charles is in South City. What's up, Charles? You're on with Dibs and Grandy. How you doing?
Happy Friday, boys. Good talking to you guys for the first time in a long time. How you guys doing?
Doing great.
But yeah, Jimmy Butler, that's good to know you're doing great, by the way. But yeah, Jimmy Butler coming here, he's definitely put everyone's minds at ease. Everyone's playing well, you know, creating good shots, and then everyone's taking good shots. And on top of that, creating lanes, and on top of that, my opinion, of course, before Jimmy came here, Steph, it was hard. It was a hard knock life for him because he was getting doubled left and right. Now when guys see Jimmy out there, they're like, oh, we got to take care of Jimmy. But they kind of forget about Steph a little bit. And by the time you look at Steph, you see a three-pointer just going above your head. On top of that, I feel like once we get Kuminga back, he's that missing puzzle piece right there. You put him in that lineup with Jimmy Butler, as long as everyone's healthy, boy, oh boy, you got yourself something out there. And one more thing for you, Dibs. This is for you and Willard, too. You too, Granny, might as well. So my little nephew, 2 years old, he enjoys listening to 95.7, and he calls you guys Dillard and Dibs.
Okay.
Dillard and Dibs.
There you go. It'll work.
Classic.
Appreciate the phone call.
Thank you, Charles.
Yeah. You know, what do you do?
Little 2-year-old nephew is a big fan of you, Dibs.
That's good. And, you know, I hear about that a lot back when I was doing mornings, especially where, you know, kids are going to school and their dads usually are putting it on. And so it's like, yeah, my 7-year-old's a big fan of you. And it's like, kid's got no choice. Poor kid's just trying to go to elementary school and
sitting in the back seat. He can't change the radio from back there.
No control, right? Just a captive audience, as my dad used to say.
Yeah. I think Charles is onto something, though, when he talks about how Jimmy is making it easier for the others, Dibs. And I think there's a fine line here because I don't want to just say Pajemski last night was kind of maybe the exception because he didn't play particularly well. I think most of it just comes down to the fact that he wasn't making his shots and neither was Moody. Although Moody hit one of the biggest shots of the game that none of us are ever going to remember. It was at the end of the third quarter. So the Steph craziness and the Quentin Post couple of buckets pushed the Warriors from down 14 at half to up 12 at one point. And then the Magic went on a 10-0 run late in the third, and just before the third quarter buzzer sounded, Moody hit a three from the corner to push the lead back up to 5. That kind of gave the Warriors, much like Steph Curry's three-quarter court heave gave them momentum going into half, that Moody three gave them momentum going into the fourth. They added on to that run in the fourth, and they ultimately took, I think, like a 10 or 12-point lead again with Steph on the bench. So that was a big three. But generally, Moody wasn't making his shots last night. Neither was Pajemski. It was another rough-heeled game, which is kind of frustrating because he had kind of been playing better of late. But I do think Charles is on to something, Dibs, because Jimmy Butler, the attention that he draws, it makes it easier for Steph, but it also allows Pajemski and Moody to slide back a role, to slide down the totem pole a little bit, to get to a point where they're now filling roles that they are much more capable of doing on a consistent basis. Whereas before the trade, you were kind of asking Wiggins and Moody when he was playing, and even Kuminga when he was playing, and Pajemski before he got hurt or after he returned, to try to fill in roles that maybe they're not quite equipped to do. But with Jimmy Butler here, they all can slide down a peg, and it makes it so much easier for all of them.
Absolutely, and you get contributions from Quentin Post, which was probably unexpected a couple of months ago.
No
and
doubt.
Now you've got him playing 24 minutes, and he goes 7 of 9 from the floor, and he's doing more than just standing and shooting threes. And you don't really necessarily need Buddy Hield. It's great if Buddy can get hot and earn his minutes again, but he's played 17 minutes last night in a pretty close game, a game that you trailed and a game that you obviously were competing to win. It wasn't garbage time, and Buddy Hield's just not getting a lot of minutes, and Pods has earned his minutes. And you mentioned Moses Moody, who still starting. And even though he didn't have a great night shooting, that three you mentioned was his only basket. And I just watched the replay. It's a nice little play because he catches the ball way behind him and he's able to square it up and get it off in time. But just he had 10 points. He got to the foul line a bunch, but just the one three ball was the only one he made. But he's doing so many of the little things regularly that Kuminga's minutes have to come from somebody. I don't know how much of it you're going to have to give up from Moses Moody.
I mean, it's going to be a chunk of them, I would think. He's probably going to get all the Gui Santos minutes. I would imagine Gui is probably not going to get regular run once Kuminga comes back. I mean, he might. Maybe the Warriors feel if they continue to win basketball games, maybe they take like 4 minutes a night from Draymond and give them to Kuminga too, if they can afford that. And then there's probably going to be a chunk that comes from GP2 and from Moses Moody as well to get Kuminga upwards of once he's fully ready to go. I mean, if he's playing good, he's got to get close to 30 minutes a night if possible, but we'll see how that does play out. Kuminga not playing tomorrow, but he could return as early as Monday when the Warriors are in Charlotte to take on the Hornets for the second time in their last four games played. But you also brought up pods, Dibs, and I know David in Concord wants to talk about Brandon Pajemski. So let's go out to Concord. 888-957-9570 is the number to call. David in Concord wants to talk about Butler and Pajemski. What's up, David? You're on with Dibs and Grandy. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm a big pods fan, and I think that Jimmy has released him in some way, an impact that doesn't show in the scoreboard. But Pods jumps in front of his man. He stays ahead. His feet are so fast, they're going to move and makes the guy turn. And when the player turns, Jimmy's there. So he's relieved. Pods able to prevent any of the big scorers from going all the way to the basket. He turns, he moves his feet, and Jimmy is just allowing it more than anybody else. And then on the same way, when the big goes, they toss it into a big, the big turns one way, and Pajemski's there to stop him turning back, so he's got to stay. So he's stopping the opponent's big from making that turn back, and he has to pass it out. So all that Jimmy and Pods both do that. So both of them are complementing each other on defense.
Yeah, David, I think you're right, and I think – I know I definitely do this, Dibs. When I'm talking about Pajemski playing good, I focus so much on what he's doing offensively, and he's certainly been better on offense over the last few weeks once he came back from that abdominal injury, which really, really took him out for longer than expected, like a month that he missed. But he's also quietly, maybe it's not so quiet anymore, he's been really good defensively. And the trio on court together of Draymond, Jimmy, and Pajemski, they have been elite defensively. And you know what you're going to get with Draymond and Jimmy defensively. But Pajemski, I think most of us view him as, you know, undersized for who he's guarding and maybe not athletically gifted enough to be laterally quick enough to stay in front of some of these elite athletes. But kind of similar to Draymond, of course, on an entirely different level. He is a pretty good team defender, like within the whole team strategy and the team scheme, and he's a good help defender, and he'll double from the blind spot of the ball handler, and he'll poke the ball free from behind. He might not be the best, and this is kind of, I think it describes, Dibs, the Warriors' defense as a whole. He might not be the best point-of-attack defender,
right?
But he is good within the team scheme, and I want your thoughts on that. But first, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Pods on defense has been kind of quietly one of his bigger contributions to this team.
For sure, and it's something that Steve mentioned on Monday when we interviewed him. I asked him about three-player combos because he has got me really researching that from a number standpoint, and I asked him who his best three-man combo is, aside from Jimmy, Steph, and Draymond. And he said, well, I'm going to throw in Draymond because it's Draymond and Pods, and it's Jimmy. That was the trio that he is absolutely loving right now, and it's because of what you're talking about. Defensively, Pods is really active, and he's not a great on-ball defender, doesn't have a lot of lateral quickness, but positionally, he's usually in the right spot. We know he takes charges better than almost anybody in the association, and he does have active hands, and he doesn't make a lot of careless mistakes with reaching, fouling jump shooters too often. he's a good heads-up defender, and I do think that with Jimmy here now, Jimmy Butler, a guy who is also a good defender, and you can add Gary Payton II in there, who is a good on-ball defender, you suddenly have a team that you can put out there that's more defensive-focused that in the non-Steph minutes can keep you in games.
Yeah, I think what's really interesting about the non-Steph minutes, Dibs, is the way that Steve Kerr has planned this and the way that they have like kind of put the puzzle pieces together is Steph and the starters, the normal starting five, they play to begin the game and they play to begin the third quarter. And that's just about it. If the game's competitive down the stretch, they will also at times close, although that might change when Kuminga comes back. And it also depends on matchups and rotations and what is happening in the game and what's going on with the opponent and all that. But generally, of late, Dibs, the Warriors starters have played together to begin the game and to begin the third quarter. Other than that, they don't really share the floor a lot together. And what the Warriors have done is they will pair Steph, because Steph plays like the first 7 minutes of the first quarter, and then he takes the rest of the quarter off and plays the beginning of the second quarter. And he plays again like the first 7 or 8 minutes of that second quarter. What the Warriors have done is they pair Steph along with four other bench players. They pair him with Buddy Hield and with Gui Santos and with GP2 and then Looney. That's the five that they throw out there. So you have Steph leading a bench squad, and Steph is so good enough to carry that squad and make them, at the very least, slightly above average, like positive. And then you have your other four starters, which includes Jimmy Butler, and it includes Draymond, and it includes Pods and Moody, plus Quentin Post. That's the group that ends quarters. And suddenly you have those groups that are without Steph being able to help build you leads. And now, instead of trying to just tread water without Steph on the court, Dibs, you have a group that is actually adding to your lead without Steph. Last night wasn't the best example of it, but the previous like four games were, where you are actually adding to your lead without Steph because you have four starters, and then with Steph on the floor and four bench players, he's still good enough to at least keep that group afloat by itself.
Yeah, and I do think that a lot of that is because the four bench players have all been playing better, and maybe
no doubt
that's Jimmy Butler, who's part of the influence, but it's also Quentin Post, who is just making huge strides, not only as a confident shooter, and he's been knocking him down almost two a game when he gets in there and gets minutes, but he's also learning and getting more offensive confidence. So you do have in your bench crew, if it is Guy and Kevon and GP2, not necessarily the best shooters. You also have Quentin Post and Buddy Hield who can be in there. Buddy should be a good shooter. He's been in kind of a long scuffle for the better part of a couple of months.
He's actually been decent the last like few games. I can bring up the numbers for you. Last night was rough.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
1 of 5 and 1 of 3 from three. But you do have some help when you have Steph out there with the bench crew. But in general, yeah, when Steph is doing like he did last night, playing that way, it doesn't matter who the other four guys are, who you're playing with.
Buddy Hield, last 10 games, shooting 42% from the field, 39% from deep.
Okay.
Last 10 games. That's not bad.
No, you'll take 39%.
You'll take 39%. He was also pretty darn bad defensively last night, which is also what really hurts the Warriors.
Yeah.
You brought up Quentin Post, though, Dibs. We were talking about this before we took the air today. I mean, how real is this? Quentin Post, like 18 points last night, 16 in the second half. Pretty good decision by Steve Kerr to go to Post to open the second half. Moses Moody came off the bench in the second half. Post started, which led Draymond down to the four. It allowed Draymond to defend Banchero, which was a big reason why the Warriors turned the game around in the third quarter. And Quentin Post scored 10 points in the first 3 minutes of the second half. 10 of his 18 came in the first 3 minutes of the second half, and he was a big reason why the Warriors got back in the game. It was Post, and it was Steph in the third quarter, and that was just about it. Honestly, I have been incredibly surprised by how good Post has been. It's one thing just to make threes, but also he's shown a little bit more finesse and ability to finish yep. around the rim, too.
And ability to pass, and, you know, like I was saying before, he had that play with Steph where he rolls and Steph gives him a bounce pass and relocates and he puts it right back out to Steph for one of his 12 threes. And you asked, like, is this real? When do we start to realize yeah. that it is?
He's just a good player. Like, when does that assumption
well,
come?
Well, he's played in each of the last 18 games. So In an 18-game stretch, he's averaging almost 10 a game, 9.2. He's shooting 42% from three.
Oh, my God.
93 from the line. He doesn't get there a lot, but he doesn't miss when he gets there. He's shooting 49 from the floor, and all this in 16 minutes. So he's getting the minutes. He's making the threes. He has, you know, four rebounds a game, which is not terrible. He's a seven-footer. You would hope that that number would go up, but that's kind of like what Andrew Wiggins was normally averaging. Wiggs would have maybe another rebound a game, but in 16 minutes, he's rebounding. He makes the open three a lot, and he's starting to get more confident, like you're saying, going to the rim. So at what point do you look at this and say, this is real? Because I don't know, like a lot of this is not flash in the pan to me. He's 24 years old. I was joking around in the green room that he's the fifth oldest guy on the team, and that's an exaggeration, but he is older than a bunch of guys on this team.
Let me see.
And I'm looking at it right here. He is older than, man, you go all the way up to, he's almost as old as Trace Jackson Davis. He's older than Moses, Gee, Kuminga, and Pods, and, you know, Yuri Collins. He's older than Yuri Collins.
And Taron Armstrong.
Right.
But, two-way Aussie they just signed.
Exactly. So he's coming up on, he'll be 25 here in March, Quentin Post, as a rookie. So
wow.
You think about him as a rookie, and he is, but then when you look back to his college career, which was long, and it was in the middle of COVID, I don't know if he played 6 years in college, but the dude is almost 25. So he's more of a polished player than your average rookie, which is kind of what TJD was last year in the same vein.
Similar.
Where, you know, TJD actually just had a birthday. He just turned 25 last week.
Happy belated, TJD.
Yep, sorry about that.
Yeah, and Quentin coming up March 21st, so in 3 weeks, a week after Steph's birthday. I was going back and forth with a friend last night, Dibs, at halftime when the Warriors were down 14, and the issue in the first half was the Dubs were just getting picked apart defensively, and some of it was just elite shot making, and that'll happen. Orlando, not a very good shooting team in general, a pretty bad offensive team, and they were making everything, but there was also some defensive breakdowns. They were getting to the rim at will. They were finishing around the rim at an extremely high clip. There was not a lot of defense for the Warriors inside, and that's kind of the risk you run when your tallest player is Jimmy Butler. And Draymond Green really plays the biggest, and he can play pretty darn big, but when Jimmy Butler's your tallest player on a starting group, that's kind of the risk you run against a gigantic team like Orlando. So I was going back and forth with my friend. I wouldn't be shocked if we see Steve Kerr adjust the group to begin the third quarter. My mind, though, didn't go to Quentin Post because I felt like it was defense that was needed, not necessarily the offense. My mind went to, well, I wouldn't be surprised if we see Looney start the second half, and they move probably Moody to the bench, and you go Draymond at the four and Looney at the five. And Steve Kerr said, you're on the right track, Grandy.
Nice.
But I'm going to go Quentin Post. And I was a little concerned because there's no doubt Quentin Post does things offensively that Kevon Looney can never dream of doing. As a floor spacer, and I mean, Looney's a pretty darn good passer, and he's got this crazy chemistry with Steph that QP doesn't quite have yet, no doubt. But he still can't do what Post can do offensively. But I was worried about the defensive end, Dibs. And honestly, last night, I thought QP, Quentin Post, he held up pretty darn good on the defensive end as well. You could also see him improve. We're talking about passing and footwork and around the rim. You can also see him begin to understand and fully grasp what's being asked of him on the defensive end.
Yeah, and you would hope that the shot blocking can continue. He did get one last night because you're going to need some rim protection. And, you know, a lot of the problem with Quentin Post and teams are discovering this is if you involve him in a pick and roll, like a 1-5 pick and roll.
Yeah, that's rough.
It's going to be trouble because he's not going to be able to stay with any guard out there on the perimeter. So maybe the Warriors go to a little bit more zone when he's on the floor. I'm just looking at second half stats, and he played the most minutes on the Golden State Warriors in the second half, 18 minutes and 43 seconds.
And 16 points.
Kevon played the other minutes, 5 minutes, 17 seconds. So tells me that Draymond Green didn't play the five, quote-unquote, at all in the second half because it was shared between Quentin and Kevon. And that might be another hidden blessing of Quentin Post is taken some of the burden off Draymond Green to have to go in there and play the five.
Yeah, and we can ask Tim Roy about that. Tim Roy coming up on the other side. He is, I imagine the team is in Philly right now as they gear up for the 76ers. We will ask Tim Roy about everything that happened last night in Orlando, including, I mean, where does that rank in his Steph Curry lexicon of great plays and moments that he's called? Because there are so many of them. We can ask him about that when we come back. Tim Roy will join us on the on all guests on 95.7 The Game, including Tim Roy, appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? It's Dibs and Grandy with you. Tim Roy, voice of the Dubs, coming up next on 95.7 The Game.